Matthias, you're going to tell us about new stuff in here and what's happening and the strategies on how to work in the field. So it's all yours. Thank you. Am I on time?
I think we need to wait for because I think the videos are automatically cut at.
So we have to wait another 20 seconds or so?
Yeah, something like that.
We can flip. Yeah.
Tell us a joke.
No. No, that would be really bad. I mean, that would be really bad. Okay, so I'll just hand you the mic and you can fill up your time and start whenever you like.
Okay.
Enjoy.
Thank you, Eric. And it's actually right now 5 o'clock, so I'm going to start. First, with a short introduction about myself. I'm a bit worried about seeing my face that big on the screen, but anyway. So I'm an application engineer by training and also a geographer. I studied geography and application engineering, and that's what I've been doing for the past couple of years, open source. I've been quite heavily involved with QGIS development. And meanwhile, I'm the co-owner of a company called openjs.ch. We are based in whole Switzerland, which, if you happen to know, is quite multilingual. So we're all also quite multilingual there and do just like consulting and development and all sorts of things, and still have a very, very strong base in QGIS, but like doing all the way to like Postgres, and also, of course, like QField is one of our most beloved babies that I will be presenting today. But it's actually not going to be a standard presentation feature frenzy. I thought that it will be fun to just have some people that we join on their way to the field and see how they work with the data, how the data flows while they're working out on the field. So before we start, I think I still need to lose some initial words, at least, about QField, about the app. I guess many of you have seen it before, that's why I'm not going to fill the next 20 minutes with new features, but let's start. So it's basically a field data collection app. It has all the power of QGIS rendering below, and it's got the support for custom forms. It's actually pretty similar to what we've seen in the last presentation about input, because it was like the basis for input. Whereas, so that's like why there are a lot of things that are shared between the two apps. It is possible to add and edit spatial data, so you can add and edit geometries, all sorts of like points and polygons and lines, and you can also edit them. And we're gonna add some more features in this area. I don't think I'll have the time to talk about new features, but maybe I will. Of course, it has a GPS integration, and it has also support for relational data models, meaning that you can have multiple tables that you feel like child features or child entries of existing features and so on. So let's start with Matteo. Matteo is a biologist. Matteo is actually working on his own, and he does not always have internet connection when he goes out. He likes to go to the forest, and he just mostly, what he needs to know when he's somewhere out there on the field, he needs to know where he is and to see what like the soil type is where he is. So what Matteo does is he prepares at home in, let's see if the pointer works, yes. At home, at his QGIS desktop, he prepares himself a data set in a GeoPackage, and he's just packaging all that up and puts it onto his mobile phone or tablet, and just takes it out. And out there, he can use QField to work with the data, to see where he is, use the GPS, and request detailed information about where he is. That's quite a trivial use case to do with probably any app out there. So let's straight go to the second person of today, which is Maya, the beekeeper. I don't know if some of you have come across Maya so far already at this conference. If you didn't, in the end, I'll introduce her a bit more and give you an outlook on what else she does. So she's actually retired and working now as a beekeeper, which is mostly a hobby for her, but she also does it to get a bit of money. And she's also working on her own, and she wants to know like how her beehives are doing. So she just goes there, but she doesn't just only check what's going on. She actually needs to edit the data on the field, of course, and sometimes adds new beehives when she's out there and looking for them. So it's pretty much the same setup. She can also like package her geo package and put it on the tablet and then start working it. But we see that like this arrow here is actually now pointing in two directions, so she can actually also change the data in her geo package. But since she's just working on her own, since there is no risk of conflicts, etc., in the end she can just go back, come back to the office and use the same geo package that she's been using out there, back onto her QGIS and continue working there with whatever data she collected out there. That brings us straight to our third friend, which is Florin. Florin is a forestry manager, and he has a team of roughly 30 field workers, which are out there, and they check actually for the safety of all the forests they have out there. So they need to go out and check all the trees, how they do, if there is like some sick trees, some illnesses, maybe something dangerous from the last storm they had, and they need to report that back in order to plan for the whole maintenance of these forests. Luckily, all over the area, there is at least a 3G data coverage in the mobile network. So he does a setup where he doesn't really need offline data at all. So he's just always working online. He's preparing himself, Florin, on his desktop computer, as you can see there, the project in QGIS, and then puts this project onto his mobile phone. But he doesn't put any data there. All he puts there is a QGIS project with a Postgres connection. Since QField is based on QGIS, it has also like access to many, 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 many different data providers. One of them is our most beloved Postgres and PostGIS provider. So they can all work in parallel on the data, and they see in real time what happens. And actually, Florin, he has put up a screen somewhere in his office where he has put a live layer in QGIS. So whenever someone changes the data, a second later, it just pops up in his office and he can see how people are doing out there. Then there is also Nadia. Nadia works for a fiber network company, and she has quite a big team for who she's responsible. And they need to make sure that the whole fiber network is stable and that they know like where their subscribers are. And to do that, she has quite a big team of people out there. Unfortunately, or however, like just as life is, they sometimes also need to be somewhere underground to fix their cables, so they do not always have data coverage. So when they go down there, they really want the things to be offline. So what she did in a first step was she set up a Postgres database, which is quite a nice thing to have anyway in a big organization, and then uses QGIS desktop to prepare her project and prepares projects for all the mobile phones in parallel with a geo package there to work on, and then synchronizes them back later on. So what these geo packages do is, next to just only having written the data directly into it, they also need to record what changes are being done all the time. So they write a log of what is going on. So for every new feature that is added, they write it into the log history. For every attribute that is changed or geometry that is changed, that's going to be written into the log history inside this geo package. And whenever she comes back from one comes back from a field trip and synchronizes the data back to the server, that's going to be applied like step by step onto the server, and so that's how things are replayed later on. However, she thinks, it would be nice if not every of our users would always have to use QGIS, or me myself, I always have to prepare the project for them all the time. So what she did, she was just implementing on the server by using the QGIS libraries in Python, the very same thing that the QField Sync plugin does on her desktop, and just does it on the server, and prepares that on a nightly basis, the latest dump from the server for all the mobile phones, which are synchronized with ThinkSing or some other sort of app like Dropbox. Then it's very much the same thing, just that all the things are automated and things are synchronized and people do not need to click and load the data all the time. So, she thinks, that's all nice and good. But hey, sometimes our people are not perfect and they do sometimes make a mistake. So why don't we add some additional things for quality assurance? So whenever people come back from the field, like it's very easy to do a typo. Sometimes you just have some things that are wrong, points which are not where they belong to be. And to do this kind of thing, she adds an additional step A. Thanks. An additional step in between. Here we are. Right, yes, that's it. So she added, on top of all that system, an additional layer. And what this layer here does is it filters the data and actually takes it from their production database and sends from the production database in their nightly synchronization jobs out to the mobile fields. However, whenever people come back from the field, what happens in the database is that some checks are applied to it, like if the points are in the region where they belong to, if some basic sanity checks of all the attributes apply, and so on. And if everything is well, they go directly into the production database. However, there is a second database, which is called the quarantine, which is just there for quality assurance. So whenever some of these basic sanity checks fail, things will be stored in the quarantine and will stay in there until someone takes care of it. That means we have someone that is probably Nadia again, or one of her coworkers in the office, just checking what's up in the quarantine. And in case of troubles, in case there is something wrong, most likely she just takes her phone and calls someone and asks like what the reality was like there, corrects it, and as soon as it is corrected, it goes also into production, and when it ends up in production, it's there. So we have an additional step of quarantine and quality assurance in there. One day, she calls us and says, hey, there is an issue for, we have these service level agreements with our customers. So we need to know who actually took all the information out there. So I need to have a proper audit trail to see who changed what and at what time and how. So for that, she modifies her database once again, and that's a third copy of the data, which is an archive. Inside the archive, she has a copy of all the data that she has also in the production, and whenever something changes in production, it is updated in the archive and with a timestamp of when it has changed and who has changed it. And actually, even in the quarantine, if something comes in from the field and goes into the quarantine, it is also put into the archive, so we know like, okay, so somebody took this information from the field, then later on it was by some professional in the office edited to go into production. And that way she has quite a good overview of what is happening out there, and if there is some legal issues coming up, she can track down who it was and what actions to take. So, that was it for the whole field strategies part already. I realized that I was quite fast on that. We are also soon going to launch an additional service, which is QField Cloud. QField Cloud is going to be much easier than the setups that you've seen here before. But it's going to integrate, it's going to be a hosted service that we're going to develop and offer as with a nice QField integration for synchronization of the data for offline and online things. So if you'd like to know more about that, you better drop by at our booth and talk to us what exactly the plans are. And I have also the pleasure to announce a crowdfunding initiative. We have actually spent, even though I didn't talk about all the features that we have done in QField, we've done a lot of things. We've done a lot of development in QField, and we'd like now to give you all the possibility to contribute back. And we'll like as a very first thing, what we are is a long-standing issue. We'd like to improve on the gallery, on the photo possibilities. Right now we have an internal thing as a workaround for a bug which we have with the Android camera. So once we've got that fixed, we will be able to use the native Android camera again, which means that we can have EXIF information about the location directly in the images, and using the native Android camera with all the cool features like HDR and whatever they can do, these native cameras, which the people who develop the cell phones actually are much better at than we are. And there will also be support for naming your images, so you can have the image names actually referring to the feature they are for and not just with a random timestamp. So we would really appreciate it a lot if you would check out the crowdfunding that we are launching now. So already at 15 minutes, like my like talk before.
Oh, I see a lot of hands coming up. That's when you get when you've stopped at 15 minutes already.
So it's a very interesting and excellent system. So I'd like to ask about the quality control. Could you back to the slide for the quality control? There are many slides, but this one. Yeah, this one or the, yeah, anyway. So for example, if you find something error, so from the data of mobile, then instead of going back to the server, so you can, if you find the QGIS desktop, you can correct immediately. So that could be an option. So why don't you correct the data, not from the server side, but from the desktop QGIS?
So I realized I was a bit too quick, and I could have spent one more minute explaining more in detail how that happens exactly. So it's really actually QGIS desktop which does the whole correction. So the things like all the data that comes from the mobile part goes first into the quarantine and stays in here if there is some problems, or it goes directly up there. To fix the things in here, people use QGIS desktop. So that's how it does. Yeah.
Hi, thanks for the presentation. Nice way of presenting the functionality. So I became interested in your characters, and especially Maya, the beekeeper. And I have two questions concerning her. I mean, first of all, does she take photos of the beehives? The second thing is when she goes and puts in a new beehive, her clothes are, you know, all the covers and all of that. It's difficult to type on the keyboard. So can she use voice recognition or something like that to input data?
Good question.
Yeah. Okay, so that's some really good questions there, actually. What she does for the photos, you asked. Of course, she takes photos of the beehives because she loves bees and she loves photos, so why not combine the two? For the second question, she had some trouble in the beginning with actually typing with her gloves. So now she has some gloves which have a tactile front, so she can actually type. But it's still quite hard to reach all the individual keys. So what she does is she uses this, like on the Google keyboard, you have this microphone, and if you type it, it's like voice to text. So she just uses that, and most of the things are anyway like well-structured attributes and data schemas. So there's not big of an issue of writing too much. Sorry? Yeah, auto-completion on voice. Yeah. that's when the smartphone is smarter than you.
What's next?
You forgot to tell us about how much more Maya you will be presenting tomorrow.
So there was a question about that I promised in the beginning to tell more about Maya. That's actually going to be this event here. So tomorrow afternoon at 2 p.m., it's not the Bolero room I found out today. I was once informed that it's the Bolero room. In fact, it's another one. Corale, maybe. Okay. Best bet from the local organization community is Corale. Look it up. It's in the program, in the schedule as well. We're going to tell you much more about Maya, and we'll also see some of her friends again. And it's what it is, it's QGIS on the road. It's a short introduction, or not so short introduction. Actually, it's like three sessions, one after each other. It's a full track. It's a lot of information about how you can use QGIS, and it's actually told by Maya. Maya, the retired GIS specialist, who is now a beekeeper, and she's building up all her honey production and all the things that she runs into throughout her journey with her bees. And it's quite an entertaining way of seeing what you can do with QGIS and all the functionality, from very basic things, but I'm pretty sure even for some of the very experienced people, there are some new things to be seen in there. So we'd love to have you join there.
Hi. You had a cool presentation. Congratulations. I have a question about what happens when the field guys come back to office. Is there some kind of an automated process of transferring the data from the tablet or the mobile to the local server, or just copy paste from folder the Joe package?
This is done by a file synchronization service, so it's like SyncSync, but you can also use Dropbox to accomplish the same kind of thing. And it's just like during the night, the file in there is replaced by the server with the latest version that is produced on the server from the latest data set, whereas every evening when you go home and you are in your Wi-Fi area, your local changes are uploaded, pushed to the server to be taken into account there.
Directly from the tablet,
yes. Yeah, there's quite a couple of apps that allow you to synchronize from the tablet and from the computer.
Could you give me an example to write it out, please?
Sync thing? Sync like SYNC, okay. Thing like THING.
Okay.
Yeah, that's an open source app. I think it's using the BitTorrent protocol. Tim, not? No idea? Good. Okay, so latest information from the back corner is it was originally called BT Sync, BitTorrent Sync? Two different projects.
Yeah.
Okay.
But they work the same way.
Okay, there was BT Sync, which was renamed to Resilio, and this one is an open alternative to that other project. But they all use the BitTorrent P2P protocol. Phew, got it right. We still have time for more questions, if there are.
If there is no more questions, may I ask it twice?
Yeah, sure, you can ask too.
Very short question. So why not GeoServer?
Well, I think it would deserve some more information on how that would integrate perfectly with GeoServer. So If you think that's a super good idea, just come by, and I think we need to have this bilateral discussion. So far, it's like pretty much QGIS integrated. All the things, like all the symbology and so on, is very QGIS centric, so specific. And I'm not sure how well GeoServer works with that, but maybe there is some smart way of combining the two things. Then we're very open to inputs. All right. Who else?
It's so quiet.
I can ask some questions.
Tim always has about four questions. So,
do you want a friendly question or a difficult question? What about supporting taking little video clips and reading QR codes, so that you can barcode your beehives and scan those?
That would be very nice.
This was the good or the bad?
That was the nice one, I think. No, that would be nice. Actually, before that, even I would
love to have audio integration, voice recording integration, because I think like, maybe the voice recognition works quite nice in English, but like in Swiss German, Google is not able to handle it yet properly, and I'm okay with them not handling it actually. But anyway, yeah, NSA probably gonna handle it, but they're not opening up their services. that would be really nice. And we've planned to come up with a series of crowdfundings. So I think that's gonna be on one of the upcoming ones. That would be a really nice functionality. Yes.
You want the easy question?
Now the easy question.
Just if you have it in 30 seconds.
Yes, 30 seconds.
What if I'm in the field and I need to make a map in a PDF of what I've just been recording?
Well, then you need to create a print composer before configure your QGIS project to have a print composer, and then it will just create a PDF.
You say yes, you can do it.
Yes, you can do it.
Ladies and gentlemen.